Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Hey, Dark Arts.
Hey there. Thanks for joining us.
Again.
Yeah. We're still in the midst of AAPI month. So I also saw somewhere where it's Mental Health Awareness Month. I wasn't aware of that. So
I know. I think I knew that at one point, and then I just completely forgot about it.
I feel like every month should be that, to be honest,
Yeah.
And every case somewhat ties back to things with that, so.
It does. And I think overall, we're pretty open about talking about mental health here and there. I mean,
it's easier to talk about it these days. They make an easier platform for it, I think, than there used to be, so.
Yeah. And so I feel like, I don't know, more so focusing on, like, the AAPI stuff and, like, the marginalized communities for these months. Like, that's not to say that, like, mental health isn't important as well. Not saying that at all, but I feel like we do that throughout the year kind of too anyways. Yeah. So,
and let's be honest, and I'm not, trying to take away from any of these things, but like, I feel like every month or day is like something anymore, you know, like on a lighter note, like, oh, taco day. I mean, every day is a thing. Like we could really go down that rabbit hole. So So that's what we're kind of honing in on, in case you are just joining us now. But we have another case this month along those same lines. So, I mean, I don't know. Do you have anything you want to share here at the beginning before I start?
Or? I mean, not that I can think of off the top of my head. I don't know. I am all over the place still this morning. You guys, if you noticed, there was a delay between the two episodes last week. I know we kind of made it sound like they'd be back to back. Technical difficulties with the site we use when we're recording like this. We couldn't get our audio. So the audio I still don't think was bad, but it's not usually would have used. So yeah, that's why there was that slight delay. My mom texted me. She's like, there's no second episode. I was like, yeah, I know. We're getting to it. She's like, I thought it was going to be back to back. I was like, yes, I know.
Technically, it's back to back in the same day.
It's still in the same day.
Yeah, it still came out the same day. Give you a little break. Give you a lunch break. Go get your lunch. Come back. No,
you know, we got it out. It was fine. Yeah. But you guys, I mean, just as always, thanks for being patient with us and not being rude about it. So
yeah, there's always that.
I think that's all I've really got. So
yeah, I mean, I got the case this week. So this week we're in Columbia, Missouri.
Okay.
This case, pretty recent-ish. Kind of, I guess it depends on what you define as recent. Everyone has their own definition of that. You know, I could say last week and it would be like 5 years ago. So, you guys might remember this one. I vaguely remembered it. And there's actually a few documentaries on this case. There was a Killer Cases, an episode on that. Season 3, episode 3. Did you ever watch those, Cassie? Killer Cases?
So.
I want to say, I can't remember if it was on Peacock or Hulu or what initially, but I had watched like the first two seasons because there was one on Molly Tibbetts, which was the case from Iowa. Yep. And that's what originally got me to watch the show. And then I watched like all of them except this season 3, which is the one that was covered. But you can find that on, it's on A&E. And I think you can just, if you have like cable or whatever, you can just use that. Or I think a subscription is like $5 a month or something.
Gotcha.
I didn't actually watch that one, but there's also a 48 hours episode on this case as well. Season 35, episode 15. And you can watch that on Paramount Plus. That's where I watched it. So, there is a little trigger warning this week. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on these, but just so you're aware that they will be talked about a bit, domestic violence, child abuse, and that's very minimal, just barely mentioned, but just so you guys are aware of where we're at there. So, we're actually going to be talking about Munjee G. So Munjee was born in 1991 to her parents in China. So she lived in China, grew up in China, did all the things there. She was actually born during China's one-child policy. So she was the only child in her family. Her parents said they actually only wanted one child anyway because they wanted to just devote their time and love to one kid. So thought I'd mention that because that was, I kind of forgot that that was a thing. And I don't know, all the details, but
that's why at one point I read a study that like by some certain year, there was going to be way more men than women because with that one child policy, a lot of people would end a pregnancy if it wasn't a boy.
Because they wanted the, yeah. The yes. New, yeah. Uh-huh.
And that has led to some, they're going to lead to some long-term issues there with very that.
Sad. Yeah.
Crazy. So that's, yeah. Gosh. And
so,
then,
yeah. I was in 91 too. I mean,
yeah, that wasn't that long.
No.
It feels like forever. Like that seems like that's something that should have been like hundreds of years ago.
I agree. Like 1800s, 90, like early yeah. 1900s, like such an old school type mentality yeah. that you would, yeah, but no, that was pretty, pretty recent. So Munji, like I said, you know, she was just the only child. She was really close with her family. She was very artistic. She was smart. She was kind. She was really devoted to her Chinese culture and family. So it couldn't have been an easy decision for her when she decided to join the like international student program here in the United States. So she had to move to the United States from China, and she was going to study at the University of Missouri. So once again, I know we talked about these the past few weeks too. I think coming from China to the US probably is very shocking. I mean, it's just very different. Sure. And
yes,
especially because she was so rooted in her culture there and close with her parents and family. But once again, I was talking about this with someone too, and I was like, you know, a lot of these people that we are talking about, you know, from other countries in China, like so smart. And it's because like they have such a hard work ethic, you know, and yeah. like very, very determined and motivated.
And school is so different in a lot yes. of other countries than in the United States. Like United States, we are failing when it comes to our school system.
Oh, yes.
But I know a lot of times, like in, I want to say like Japan and maybe China and stuff, like you're already like high school is preparing you for what your job you want in college
right.
and
as
stuff.
It should
and like,
be.
It's like I mean, pre-college, you know, yeah. and stuff like that. And I mean, their exams, their school stuff, like that's all very, very serious there. And I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, can we like,
right.
Hey, can we kind of like take a note like, from other countries, please?
Yeah. Cause I know like when I went to college, I still was like, yeah, I don't know what I want to do. Like, you know, and it's crazy because every victim that we've like talked about in these cases too, that have come from a country like to study, it's like, they are so smart. And Munji was definitely one of them because she came here to finish her undergraduate studies. And then she was going to work towards her master's degree in mechanical and aerospace engineering. So
holy
like,
shit.
Yeah, very smart. So she was dedicated and she did achieve this. So she graduated with her master's degree in 2014 from the University of Missouri. Super smart. Like, yeah, I just am like, okay, I couldn't hold a candle to some of these people. Like so smart and motivated. And it just yeah. makes it even that much sadder. Like you guys, like, you know, they had a lot going for them, all these people. And not that people who don't go to school and don't deserve it, but like,
to die,
it just sucks, you know, like, come on. So,
well, and it's like, what could she have invented that would have changed the world for the better?
Exactly. Like that, who knows what got taken away, you know, like
yeah.
what would have happened or could have been. So yeah. But, then, so she, you know, she graduated and then she was working, at a company that was named, I think, Nanova. And I don't know, she was doing some kind of engineering work there. So while she was working there, that's actually where she met her future husband. So Joe Elledge, that was in September 2015. He was working there and she was actually his like supervisor or boss.
Okay. But
they hit it off very early on. A few months after they met, they went on their first date. And then several months later, I think it was like a year and a half, I want to say ish between this whole time frame, they actually traveled to China to visit her family together. And Joe asked her parents for permission to marry Munji. So yeah, okay. Very serious, very quick.
Yes.
Whirlwind romance. So shortly after that, Joe proposed to Munji on September 8th of 2017 while they were hiking in Rockbridge Memorial State Park. So there's pictures of all that too. And it looks like a really cool place. Pretty. And I think they were really into like outdoorsy things and they did a lot of like hiking and that kind of thing. So it was kind of perfect.
I was going to say, if you proposed hiking, I'm sure that had to have been a thing for them. Yeah. Because otherwise, like if you don't ever hike, you're like, let's go for a hike.
Like, yeah. I'd be like, that's weird. I'm going to like, can I drive up there? I'll meet you at the top.
Like in Schitt's Creek.
Yes. Oh, I love Schitt's Creek. Oh my gosh. Too. Okay. So he proposes. She obviously says yes. After a very short engagement, and I'm talking very short, as in 2 weeks, they got married. Yep. Married on September 22nd of 2017, 2 weeks after he proposed. So like, you do it, you know, whatever. Yeah. There's no reason to wait if you don't want a big thing.
Right. If you're just going to go to the courthouse and do your thing.
Right. So that's what they do. So they're married. And then, let's see, how many months would that be? Let me try to do my math. It's about 5 months later ish. She gets pregnant. And she's super excited. She's always wanted to be a mom. But also she was offered a job. I don't know exactly where, but a big job at some big company. They decided that she would not take this job to stay home with their child. Okay, to each their own.
I mean, as long as she was on board with that too.
Yeah, and I don't really know. I mean, the more we talk about it, the more it makes me think she was maybe not on board. Yeah. But Joe was actually not working at the time either. So she was like the sole breadwinner because he had stopped working at whatever company they were at because he was finishing up his schooling. So I'm not sure. I think it sounds like kind of living on student loans maybe then at that point if he was still in school and she was not going to work.
Why wouldn't he be the stay-at-home dad then?
Yeah, I don't know.
Especially if she was offered a great paying job. It sounds to me, which I was going to say, I was like, I feel like this is a case where the husband did it. But because at first I was going to be like, hey, awesome. She's his supervisor. He's not upset about this power dynamic. Right. Clearly, this is not true.
I feel like that's kind of where it maybe was like, the beginning of this whole controlling situation
was like her making more money wasn't okay.
Uh-huh. That's, it never talks about that specifically, but later I'll talk about a little bit more, on some of that, power dynamic, I guess. Mm. So, okay. So she has their daughter. I think her name was Anna. I only read that one spot ever. It doesn't really matter. I guess she's a minor anyways. So she has her daughter and that seems to be like when a lot of their problems really start because they start arguing nonstop. It's like all the time. And also, I guess it's, I don't know if it's a Chinese tradition exactly or what realm, if it's a religious thing or what, but there's like a tradition where after you have your baby, your parents come and stay with you for 1 year to help take care of your child. So
well, that's another thing America needs to get on board with. So many other countries have so much better like prenatal or postnatal care for like the mother and stuff like that. There are several countries where like the mom, she's there to help. Like if she's breastfeeding, but then otherwise everyone's catering to her, taking care of her. Here in America, they're like, okay, you've been in the hospital for a few days, go home, figure it out yourself.
And
you're lucky if and family like, comes and
men
helps you
get paternal leave and like, you know, all kinds
some
of things.
Countries, you can take your parental leave up to 1 year later. So like in some countries, the mom will take the first year and then the dad will take the second year. So the first 2 years of the child's life, they're just home with their parents and stuff. And there's America.
It's amazing. We're doing it wrong. There was a meme I actually saw this morning. It was like, people in Europe, I think I'm going to take the summer off to enjoy the scenery and get a tan. And then it's like, in America, I'm going to use one of my 3 PTO days to get open heart surgery and I'll be back to work the next day.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's pretty much sums it up.
Like, we want to talk about like, oh, we're the greatest country. No, I'm sorry. No, we're not.
We're doing a lot of things wrong over here. We could
learn
from.
We're kind of progressing if we haven't noticed the news lately. So.
Yeah. So they... The mom and dad, I don't know their names exactly. They come and stay. And that does not really seem to help either because I think it's just maybe, I don't know. I don't have in-laws, but I could see there being a lot of tension anyway. And I'm sure their parenting is different there. Yes. I mean, than it would be that it is in the U.S.
Right.
Too.
And not to mention like any cultural difference. I mean, I'm assuming they're still in Missouri.
They are. Correct. That's- yes.
I'm
and
sure,
a major language barrier, which we'll talk about later too.
Yes.
Yeah. there's a lot of issues with that in the future. But so the arguing, it just gets worse and worse. And so they don't even end up staying the full year, which we'll talk about that a little bit later, but they leave. So then fast forward a little bit. So on October 9th of 2019, 28-year-old Mungie at the time, she was 28, seems to just vanish. So Joe had said that the night before he had went to Mungie and offered to massage her because he was really hoping they could have some intimate time together, but that she rejected him. She told him she had plans the next day and she just wanted to go to bed. So he said that she went to bed around 11 p.m. and when he woke up in the morning, she was already gone. He thought it was weird because she had left without her keys, phone, wallet, and their daughter, obviously. Okay, so that's kind of what he says here in a bit, but Mungie's mom knew something was wrong when they didn't hear from her because they talked every single day. And I guess they both looked forward to their phone call every day, which I think is so sweet that they'd still, especially with the time difference too, I'm sure that was difficult, but I love that they still kept in touch. And so when she didn't hear from her for even that one day, she knew that something was wrong. So they called a friend here that they knew in the US and had them go over to check on Mungie. And when they got there, she wasn't there. And that's when Joe finally admitted that she was missing. And he reported it to the police then. And that's when he gave his story about, well, I don't know, she was just gone, this and that. So
you don't immediately.
Right. So what's even stranger about this is when they finally are like, okay, well, she's gone, we have to do something. Oh, okay. So then he decides to finally call it in. He doesn't call 911. He called the non-emergency line. I'm sorry. Isn't this kind of a big deal? Yeah. Your wife, the mother of your child, is just gone, but left and all with her all things. All her
stuff is there.
Yeah.
Is her car still there?
Uh huh. Her car's there. Her keys are there. I was going to kind of talk about some of this later, but I think I'll just talk about it now because he then thinks, you know, that she was having some secret relationship, which they do later find her journal and they translate it, and she talks about. I don't know necessarily not being in love with someone else, but not really loving her husband. Mm-hmm. And that there was a man in China that I guess she had been messaging with. And there were some sexually explicit messages that were found. So okay. I mean, that doesn't prove anything, but maybe she did leave and go with this guy.
No way she's leaving that girl though.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing that's weird because she was a very good mother. I mean, she gave up a job to stay home with her child too.
And
you know,
she's going to take her cell phone.
Right.
She's going to take her stuff still. Even if she's not leaving her kid. The minimal stuff, she's not leaving her kid.
Right.
And she's not leaving her phone.
So exactly. That's the thing that's weird. I mean, and it's like, okay, so if anything, yes, this also shows she could have left with another guy, but it shows also that there's probably problems in the relationship if she was having this secret relationship to begin with.
Right.
So a couple things there. So finally, you know, she's officially reported as missing, not right away because she's a grown adult. They think she ran away. Joe made it sound like she left with this other guy. So after that, Joe did an interview with the local news station. He pled for his wife.
Why do they always do interviews with the news?
I literally think of Chris Watts, like right away too. And like Scott Peterson, those two that both were found guilty. It's like, why don't we? Isn't this a sign, maybe, like, if you're going to do an interview, it probably means you're guilty anyway. I don't know. Do they ever really talk to a wife when a husband is missing? Oh, wait, they're not really missing that often also. I'm just going to throw that out there. Okay, so, and also women aren't stupid enough to go on there and, I mean, not all. Okay, I don't know. Some men are not stupid either. I'm sorry, guys. Don't take offense to any of that. But I just feel very irritated with this situation. Yeah. There's a trend there, definitely.
Is he white?
Yes. And he's a nerdy looking dude. I'm just going to say that. Like, not that that matters, but because I hate him, I can say that. But look,
they're all white men who are always doing those interviews.
Poor Joe. Oh, poor Joe.
Yep.
Yeah. So where was I at? The news story. That's right. So he's on the news. He's pleading for her to return home safely. He said that he and his daughter, you know, they loved her. He also implied that she might have run off with another guy because he had said in the interview, I hope she's at least with someone who cares for her, you know, enough to keep her safe. So that's when, you know, they find out all the things about the secret relationship in China. And also, though, like, it's not like it's easy to just leave and run to China real quick either. No. So, like, there would have been a paper trail there for she airline tickets, her wallet, whatever, her passport. Yes. So, yeah. So the same day that Joe was on the news and did his little cry for help, he also voluntarily went to the police station to be interviewed. The Columbia police investigators were really suspicious very early on because he talked about how, you know, they talked about the timeline from the time she was missing till now, what he was doing during that time. And he talked about how he went for long leisure drives with his daughter just to find some new hiking paths. He didn't even mention, like, looking for his wife that was missing.
Yeah.
So that was odd. He also was referring to her in a past tense, which they said is also
that's
a huge red flag.
Always a sign. Like, yes. Someone yep. who doesn't know, who mm-hmm. legitimately is concerned and thinks they ran off, will not refer
would
to
not.
Them in past
no.
tense.
No,
but
no.
if you know she's no longer living, you're gonna.
Yep. You know, and honestly, this guy has to be fairly smart. I mean, he's in the engineering program as well and has gotten that far. So it's like,
yeah,
book smart, once again.
Yeah.
That's always how it is, though. You know, like, they're right. smart, but then they have no common sense.
Yeah.
So after they interview him too, you know, they take his cell phone, he gives it to them, and they had found on his phone 10 hours of secretly recorded arguments between Joe and Mungi. I'm not sure, like, why he did it. Unless he was trying to prove something to her later on
right.
or what, but, he was, like, just very defensive in several of them and very demeaning and condescending to her. Like, in one recording, you could hear him saying to her, "What are you trying to do? Are you seriously? Are you trying to, like, get the baby away? Are you trying to make me go crazy so that you can call the police on me and take my fucking baby away from me?"
So he probably thought he was being smarter, going to have something to make it look like she was the crazy one.
Yes.
But instead, it's him looking like the abusive, mm-hmm. crazy asshole.
Because it just gets, like, worse the more they comb through it. And they also have her phone because it was left behind. So they can obviously look through that. And on her phone, she had recorded stuff too, which, good for her. But there on her phone, they find 4.5 hours worth of different recordings of them fighting.
Oh my God.
You can hear just more of him talking down to her. And he would say things to her like, "You think you're so empowered because of this society. Don't forget that nature exists and you're still just a woman."
Ew.
Yes. And he would threaten her all the time and say stuff like, "You really want to do this? You really want to take my kid away from me? You know what I can say? Do you want me just to have them deport you? I'll do that." And, like, just shit like that, where he was clearly putting his control over her and he wanted
yes.
her to know that he was controlling and he,
yes.
he was in the driver's seat. So,
ew.
Yeah, just a disgusting person. So on October 25th of 2019, this was only, you know, a couple weeks after she's been gone. The police actually announced that they're going to open a criminal investigation into Mungi's disappearance. They also announced that they are going to be arresting Joe, not in connection with his wife, but on suspicion of physical child abuse.
Oh.
So they said it was good because they had a reason to keep
arrest
him there.
Him. Uh-huh.
And they also had found bruises on their daughter. And there was pictures and some videos on Mungi's phone of like pictures of bruises and stuff on their child. Yeah. Sickening. She's
how,
1 year old.
I was going to say, she's like a little baby, right?
Yeah, she's I don't even know if she's quite one yet at this point.
Oh.
So, hey, Dark Hearts. We wanted to tell you about one of our favorite products that helps keep you safe and also gives you peace of mind.
She's Birdie is a cool little device that is small enough you can hook it on a keychain, bag, or even just carry it.
There are two different types of birdies. The original birdie, when activated, chirps very loud. Trust me, it's ear piercing. We've tried it. And also has an intense strobe light that helps deter attackers and gets the attention of potential bystanders.
The She's Birdie Plus is a Bluetooth-enabled device that connects to an app on your phone that gives you 24/7 support where live reps are available. It can also send you a fake call to get out of an uncomfortable situation, as well as provide GPS location to your chosen contacts.
This birdie does require a subscription you can either pay monthly or annually.
The best part is you can get 15% off your order when you use the code DARKHEARTS15.
Check out shesbirdie.com to see what fun colors and patterns you can purchase.
Stay Heartland kind and be extra Darkland wary with your new birdie. Joe admits he pinched her one day when she was crying. Okay. Because that doesn't cause multiple bruises.
And also, how is pinching going to stop the baby crying?
Right. Very good point. I'm sorry. That would just piss a kid off even more. I mean, what an dumbass. So,
ew.
Yeah. So they arrest him for that, and they set his bail at $500,000. So he ends up pleading guilty to that charge, which is the child abuse, child endangerment, and actually domestic violence. So in February 2022 is when he pled guilty to those.
Oh,
sorry,
wow.
I should have put that in there first. Because initially in March of 2020, he was not guilty, he said. So down the road, he does change his plea, and he does say yes to that. So that's kind of a whole different side story, but... You know, while all of this is going on, of course, they're still searching for Mungie, and they have parties, search parties looking for her. There's no sign of her really anywhere. So after they get the cell tower data back, the investigators discover Joe had visited the Lamine River, which is about 40 minutes away from where their home was. Joe had never even mentioned that to the police, that he had went around that area, especially for 40 minutes or for 40 minutes for a long time when it's 40 minutes away.
It's away.
Wouldn't you maybe mention that?
Yeah.
So he didn't mention that. And so they're like even more suspicious. And then they think, well, maybe he dumped her or something in this river. So they do a surface search at this river, hoping to find signs of something. And over this time, they actually did several searches. They had dive teams, cadaver dogs, and unfortunately, they never actually found any sign of anything there.
I mean, if it's a river, though, that water is moving. Like, a lake
fast.
Is one thing.
Yes.
But... And if so much time has gone by already, even if it's been a couple of weeks, I mean, even if it had been, like, a couple of days...
I know.
At that point, it's too much.
It is. And because then wherever that river goes into, it's like you could just be searching forever. So not really sure what his deal was, why he was there, but they still think that's really weird. Like, why wouldn't you just say, yeah, I went driving around this river because whatever. I mean, the fact to not mention it is just as suspicious. So,
yeah.
And then, of course, you know, while the search for Mungie still is continuing, there's kind of a custody battle happening because Joe's mom files for guardianship of their young daughter, and Mungie's parents do the same. So... she actually goes to live with Joe's mom while the case is underway. And the documentary I watched where they show her, she actually seems like a decent person, but also I always am like, of every parent, like not every killer or whatever means they have bad parents,
but
still,
also,
I feel like because he's the one being accused of that, I don't like that. And I don't know if it's because the daughter's a citizen, maybe, and they're not, you know.
And that was probably what was... Mm-hmm. Listen, it's also Missouri, so I'm like, it was because she was white.
Right. Yeah.
And they were probably used like, well, she's a citizen, which I get, but like, could we have done some sort of joint custody? Because I wonder if she had dual citizenship with her mom or not. I mean, it depends on how they set it up. But at the same time, like, you have her whole other culture that as this white woman who's had no part of that, like, that girl's missing out on then.
Oh, yeah. And she's already lost both her parents at this point because she doesn't have either one of them. So not that we want her to have him, especially. But
and also, again, the education system in China is going to be better. So like maybe her parents get her for the school year and over summer she comes back to visit or something.
I know. I feel like that's just an awful situation for this kid, which we'll talk about that more too here at the end, kind of, because there's a little bit more on that. But it really sucked when all of this custody stuff was going on because this was also when the pandemic was happening. So there were tons of delays on the case because of COVID-19.
Also because it was China.
Correct.
That adds a whole other layer of like me feeling like because it's also Missouri and we know that there's still races there and stuff too.
And everyone.
It's a whole thing.
I know. That's what I thought. I was like, this couldn't have been worse timing for them. Because I'm like, that's when a lot of the hate really started against Asians.
A lot of the Asian American hate went up at that time. A lot of the hate crimes increased.
They got terrible. Do you remember the big spa? I think it was a spa shooting, right? That was just sick. Yeah, that was all around the same time. So that did not help the situation. And it kind of just put a standstill on it, really. So Joe's mom had her for the majority of this time. So then, we're in 2020 now anyway. So February 19th of 2020, Joe is officially accused of murder. So they don't actually have Mungie's body. But after reviewing the audio files, the county prosecutor was highly, highly convinced that Joe had something to do with it. Obviously. Mm-hmm. He actually described Joe as a jealous, controlling, manipulative psychopath, which, I really like this prosecutor. I should have put his name in here, but I feel like when I start putting all the names, then it gets more confusing.
Yeah.
But he was a really good prosecutor. So it had been months since Mungie had, been missing. She was gone. There was no signs of her. All the while, they're still holding vigils and memorials and stuff like that. So nothing really comes of that. She's still missing nothing. 17 months later, on March 25th of 2021, a hiker stumbles across skeletal remains in Rock Bridge Memorial State Park. If you remember me talking about that earlier,
proposed to her.
The same place that he had proposed and they had gotten engaged. Yeah. So because it was only skeletal remains, they were unable to identify really how
she died.
She died, but they were able to identify her as a positive ID as Mungie because of dental records. They found, though, that four of her ribs were completely broken.
Oh.
Like, completely. They said whatever happened was obviously a very violent attack, and that she would have been in excruciating pain because of four ribs completely broken. So they have enough there to show that there was some sort of physical altercation. But yeah, that's gross. So back when Joe was initially arrested for all of this, they had taken, stuff from their apartment too, without really knowing if they would need it at some point. But they did have some boots that they had taken from their apartment of his, and they were really muddy. They really had nothing to compare them against at the time, but now they do. So this was kind of crazy because I know that plants have DNA, but in this case, plant DNA literally solved the case.
It's crazy to me how in some forensic things, they can be like, this plant is only found in these areas, and they can narrow it down to like soil even stuff.
It's insane. They get this, a plant population. Oh gosh, I can't even say some of these words here. Geneticist something, blah, blah, blah. Her team at Missouri Botanical Garden. So they were asked to compare plant DNA that was taken from the boots to plant samples that were found from the tree where Mungie's body was found. And they said it was some insane, like they had to be specific on which tree they took it off of, and they couldn't take any off the ground. They had to take specific ones that were still like attached to the tree. Okay. Just something crazy. And it was funny because they talked to this woman who did the testing, and she's like, yeah, never thought I'd be helping in a murder case. you know, like, I just like plants and all that. So,
right. Like, I'm just looking to have some plants.
Yeah. And I think the episode on 48 Hours is actually called like the tree that solved a murder or something like that, because it was a tree.
It was the giving tree.
Oh, the giving tree. Yes. Oh my gosh. That book is so sad. But honestly, trees have a lot of stuff going on there, you know?
They do.
They see a lot of things. But yeah, they are able to prove that that DNA on the boot matched the exact spot where her body was. So now Joe's defense attorney obviously has to try to spin this somehow, because now they actually have evidence that links him to the crime scene. Right. So when trial actually starts in November of 2021, the defense now is saying, yes, actually, Joe did kill his wife, but it was a tragic accident. So his attorney says that Joe and Mungie got into an argument and began shoving each other. He said when Joe pushed her, she fell backwards and he just heard a thud. He said that after that, she told him to leave her alone. She's just leaving me alone. And so he went for a walk and she went to bed. Okay. So the next morning, Joe said he woke up around 5 a.m., heard his baby crying, and that was when he found his wife dead. The attorney said that he was in a dissociated state of denial, and he said that Joe panicked and decided not to call 911 and just decided to bury her. And he said that once Joe went down that rabbit hole, he chose to just continue down that path. So many things about that that are wrong. Also, yeah, you're concealing her body because you know something happened.
Because it's more than just a concussion. Duh.
Right. You heard a thud. Yeah, you pushed her. And obviously there's going to be a thud.
Yeah.
And you're not going to just die from a concussion. She's not going to just get up good. I mean, I know there's things where that kind of thing can happen. But she also had four broken ribs. So explain that.
Yeah. That's right? Not just from a shove.
No. No. Not at all. So then when the prosecutor, you know, gets to take his turn, he plays these secret recordings that they had found. And he says this is enough that proves to prove motive. Joe, on some of those that he played, you know, he calls her brainless and he talks down to her nonstop. And so the prosecutor says it was a calculated effort on his part to bring her under his control. He said that when he realized he couldn't control her, he decided he just wanted her gone. So they really paint a picture of the abuse history by Joe. So he was constantly threatening to deport her. He would put her down saying she didn't understand American culture. And they said that it was really sad because of her cultural differences. She was really scared to reach out for help and she didn't know of all these resources available to her. And they said, you know, he really took advantage of that because if she was able to reach out, like she could have gotten help, but he scared her into thinking, and she didn't know. I mean, she's not from here.
No.
So, and I'm sure that just made it worse. So, Joe's kind of an idiot because he ends up testifying at his own trial.
Of course.
Which, you know, it's always a certain type that does that. So he was spent 2 days on the stand, and the prosecutor questioned him for 3 hours straight just to pinpoint a cause of death. And he asks him, he says, well, did you kill her on the bed? You did, didn't you? And Joe says, no. The prosecutor asked if he stood on her back and jumped on her to break those ribs.
Yeah.
Or did he suffocate her? Joe just says, no. He just keeps saying it was an accident. And they show like clips of him testifying on, you know, these shows. And you can just tell he's nervous as hell. And no remorse at all. Like nothing. He's just, no, it was an accident. Like nothing.
Gross.
And so, yeah, he's just gross. So he, you know, he's sticking to his story. It was an accident. So on November 11th of 2021, after a 10-day trial, neither side really got the result they wanted. Defense really wanted manslaughter charge. Prosecution wanted first degree murder charge, obviously. So the jury ends up finding Joe guilty of second degree murder, which basically we know means they didn't think it was premeditated. So the jury recommended a sentence of 28 years in prison.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. This was to signify a year in prison for each year of her life. So they came to that conclusion because Mungie was 28. So like, I get the significance of that, but 28 years and he's like, I don't even know how old he is and I don't care, but he's obviously around the same age.
Yeah. How about instead we go, okay, she was 28. Average lifespan for her would have been like 80 something. So we're going to split that difference and you're going to get 60 some years.
Yes, I agree.
So because at most at this point, he's like 30 years old or so. At the most, I'm sure. That.
Yeah. So yeah, what, he's still going to have a full life.
Like 58 to 60. And that's not if they have parole or not.
And like his daughter is going to be younger than us. Like I think about, you know, like, no, I think that's so disgusting. So that's what he gets sentenced to, 28 years. So like he's currently at Southeast Correctional Center in Charleston, South Carolina. But he, of course, has appealed everything. And I'm like, what do you have to appeal? You got off pretty damn good. Like, So I'm sure that, I mean, nothing has ever come from any of his appeals, which good. And I know that that's still a constant thing. Cause I saw just in December of 2022, he was still, you know, trying to, I mean, he has nothing else to do in there. So, you know, poor guy, he's just playing the victim. So yeah, Mungie's parents too, they said that, you know, when they had first come to the U.S., when she was reported missing, they really believed that she was still alive. They really hoped that she still was. They just said how absolutely traumatic it was for them to find out that her husband was responsible for this. It was their worst nightmare. And they just talked about how awful it was to have that language barrier because they felt like nobody was there to help them. Yeah. And even part of the trial got postponed because they didn't have a Mandarin translator. And they would have to have people tell them things because they had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
And I just feel like how frustrating that would be too, on top of everything else. And they felt like the police, you know, did not urgently start looking for her like they would have liked as well.
Right.
So that's really all I have. And there's not even very much on her, like Mungie herself, other than kind of what I talked about in the beginning.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, she just has a wonderful smile and she's just a tiny, cute girl, very smart, just looks like a happy mom, you know?
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that she got hooked to this guy because he's a piece. Well, so
I hope her parents get some sort of like joint custody or something of the daughter or something.
I was trying to find that too a little bit ago because I was still searching, and there were so many delays with it that I don't know. I'm trying to find it.
It's something that they could still be fighting or battling, you know.
It's probably going to be an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to see because I was like, well, by now there should have been something. But let's see. Of course it says, you know, both sides want full guardianship of her. She's four now, but it's still set. Okay. So this was in December that it was still awaiting trial from what I found. Mm-hmm. And that I thought maybe I could find something newer than that, but that was the most recent. So just an awful thing for everybody involved.
Yeah.
And now that child has lost both parents and knowing that one took the other's life is just awful. So of course, once again, I do want to mention, you know, the National Domestic Violence Hotline. We'll link that information in the show notes as well. You know, you can text START to 88788. You can even chat online at thehotline.org, or you can call 800-799-7233. And I feel like we, like as Americans and stuff, I think we mostly are aware that things like that exist, but I feel like others don't necessarily. Like Mungie probably did not even, you know, realize the extent of like the services that could be available to her.
Right.
So I think that that's also a big thing too, that if there's someone that maybe not doesn't know about those things too, regardless of cultural things and stuff, like it just makes me sad because it sounds like she was unhappy in the marriage as well and did want to leave.
Yeah.
But because he kept threatening to deport her, because I know she just like had a green card. There was a little bit on that, just talking about how he would threaten her, like, you know, if I divorce you, you have to leave. I'm going to get you deported. I'm going to say that you're doing this and that. And so she probably, I mean I'm guessing they got into just some argument about it. And she probably said like, I am going to leave. And then he snapped.
Yeah. I feel like it was definitely one of those things where it's like, if I can't have you, no one can.
Yes.
I have control over you. And so the moment he realized he was losing control over her, he did. So like, maybe it wasn't premeditated, but his history of violence with child abuse and this, having these phone calls, like how do you only get 28 years? Like
I know.
Like I said, I get the symbolism you're going through, but you went the wrong way. Like it should have been.
Times that by two, because that's, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Times it by more than that. But like, honestly, 28 is so minimal.
You
like,
took her life. So now you get life.
Mm-hmm. Piece of shit. I hope he gets just taken advantage of in prison because.
That's so gross. I hate people.
I know. Do you remember that case at all? I don't know. I vaguely remember. I don't remember like all of it, but I remember details about a husband, like the situation kind of, but I wasn't aware of all the things that went into it because I remember hearing about, I think when they found this body, cause they were like, or skeletal remains. And I kind of remember that. And, that was it. But now I didn't have time to watch the other documentary. I watched the 48 hours just because I know those are generally pretty well, you know, researched. But, and also too, I guess I didn't even put this in the notes, but the prosecutor on the case who was amazing, and he was really helpful and kind to Mungie's family. He unexpectedly died in June of 2022. So he's actually in the documentary a lot. And then at the end, you know, it does say that. And I read how that was just like really sad. Everyone was really sad because he had fought so hard for her. So yeah. That's where we're at. So that's the case of Mungie G.
Okay. Well, that is heartbreaking.
Very much so. All of them are, but like these ones are just so, I don't know why. I think it's just sadder knowing that like, it's like, not that they're naive, but like they come here with such high hopes and they don't understand just what ugly monsters are out there, which I know they're everywhere, but like, it's just like they really get taken advantage of.
Well, and clearly like, he was holding her citizenship over her head, you know, and that's just not okay. Yeah.
And she wants her daughter. So like, she's willing to stay for her daughter because So that's what I got this week, guys. So thanks for listening. I will share pictures and stuff. And I am going to post a picture of him just so you can see. I like to have a visual of these people so I can. Yeah. And you'll just see what a loser he is. And he just looks like a loser. And I would never think that if he hadn't done something like this. He just looks like a nerdy guy. Yeah. But there's a lot of secrets people hide. Yes. So.
Yes, there are. Okay. Well, have you been reading any books or watching anything?
Honestly, not really. I don't really even have anything. I was going to tell you today, like, I don't even know if we need to do it because I don't have anything because I have just been so freaking busy doing the end of the year school things. It seems like our school has something every freaking day. And it's, I love my child and I love supporting those things, but kind of like, hey, I actually have a job. Like I need to be at sometimes, you know? So yeah, that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I am almost done with, She Who Became the Sun. I have like an hour left of it and I'm getting my lashes done today. So I'll probably, finish it then. I can't remember if I had finished Dyrewood yet or not when we last talked. But I finished that one. That was good. I liked it. Some different lore about vampires. That was interesting, but I kind of wish there was a little bit more to it, but this was a first-time author, and so I'm like, okay, I like the way she wrote, so I'll check out more.
Yeah.
But then I read Nothing But Blackened Teeth, which was like a short story horror story, which was so good. I kind of wish it had been a full-length novel because I wanted so much more.
Yeah.
So that was by Cassandra Kaw, and then they also wrote The Salt Grows Heavy, which is like a Little Mermaid retelling, but like also kind of horror, and like, but also kind of a weird love story. Another short story. I read it in one sitting, but like, I really liked it. I was like, so I need more by Cassandra Kaw. They have a bunch of other stuff out that I now want to get. So
cool.
Yep. And then like I told you, I mean, I had my whole, I'm going to probably read Yellow Face today by R.F. Kuang. That is her new book. And that was the one I told you, you know, about my Barnes & Noble debacle.
Yes.
I ordered it through them. I pre-ordered it and they sent it in just a little cardboard envelope and it got beat to shit. So I went there this morning. I got it exchanged. It's fine now. But yeah, otherwise I don't think I've watched anything because it's just like I've been reading or listening or then it's like soccer has been a thing. End of school year stuff. Yes, it's just like busy, nonstop.
Busy times for sure. Yeah. I get it. That's kind of where we're at too. I'm like, I'm just trying to survive. It's survival mode right now. So
I know.
But we're done in a couple days. So
my mutts are whining behind me. I don't know if you've heard them every now and then. I've like tried to mute myself. Okay, good. I mean, if it picks up in the audio, I'm not gonna edit it out. Just know that it's my dogs being dramatic. I couldn't hear one thing. Because they hear me talking. And I was like, you guys have to stay in the kitchen for now. So
yeah. I'm sure mine are like ready to come out from
the
cave, but
you know. Yeah. You guys, rate, review, follow wherever you listen. We're on anywhere you can listen to podcasts. Also, we have a website. All of that, our social medias and our website, TikTok, Facebook, all that is always linked in the show notes. You can email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, all the things, you guys.
Perfect. Yeah. And send us your stories. There's a link on our website. You can do that directly. But yeah, rate and review. Oh my gosh. Can we talk today, Cassie?
No.
Rate and review. If you haven't done that before, it really helps us out. If you could just take a second and whatever you're listening on, scroll down, click the 5 stars.
If they have it, or even just following us helps.
Yeah,
if they don't
amazing.
Have like Spotify, I think you can only follow. You can't rate.
Yeah.
Or you can thumbs up, maybe. I don't
something.
Know.
But yeah, that's something quick and easy and a great way to help us out. So we would appreciate it if you enjoy listening to us. So
until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.